Watching Wall Street this morning, the Dow futures 11 points higher. NASDAQ futures are down 7. More details at srnnews.com.
Are you searching for good, conservative, theologically sound Bible books, commentaries, and teaching materials? Conservative Theological University has about 6,000 titles and about 120,000 volumes available. Shop today at conservative.edu. Scroll down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. We're talking about a subject that I believe we need to listen to, understand, and stand up for the truth. We're talking about a subject today, an issue, the battle for truth, a battle of good versus evil. And we see that coming to the forefront with the assassination of Charlie Kirk. We're talking about his death. We're talking about his celebration, memorial celebration, and the response from multitudes across our nation about that. You just heard before the news break the speech at the memorial ceremony for Charlie Kirk, carried out by our Secretary of State, Marco Rubio. I don't know your thoughts on it. I was thankful for that because he gave perhaps the clearest presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ of any that you could hear from most pulpits today. I believe we have Blake on the line. Blake, thank you for hanging on, waiting until after the news. Go ahead.
Thank you, Pastor. And first of all, I did, just the subject of your show today, I did spend the entire 5 hours watching that. And I have never had so many instances of prolonged weeping as I listened to the testimonies about him. And the ones that were most precious to me were the people that worked with him and worked around him, and then of course there was Erica at the end. She when I think of these classic paintings of a martyr or somebody in pain because of being attacked by the world around them, and they have their eyes looking up to heaven, and that's exactly what I saw in her face and her eyes. And I'm just we know a lot of women that they get that fight in the public square, and I came up with this notion of something called a warrior angel. She is entirely that, and we're just thankful for that.
I am thankful for that. Delighted you shared that.
Yeah, but the reason I'm calling, and this is our opportunity to take up the call that Charlie has fought for, and I think that's a fair, it's not exploiting anything, I think it's a fair statement. We have a budget, a meeting tonight that starts at 3 o'clock, and it is an attack on the fundamental values of our nation in several ways. I can speak to each one of the 2 items, but the one I think that's most important that we need to talk about is the fact that Councilman Rory Diamond has put up prohibitions for use of tax dollars for abortions, DEI, and illegal aliens. And that is the one that has the greatest risk of not passing. And it's because of people people who claim to be Republicans who are not standing for the principles of the party which they claim to be a part of. And it's really, really dark, and we really need to get lots of people down there and wearing red shirts. And I'm asking people to get down there before the start time at 3 o'clock. Donna Deegan had some sort of a rally at a church, and of course all the media across Jacksonville covered it on their shows last night. And it's we need to get down there and make sure that those people who claim to be Republicans, and we say Republicans because it's Democrats stand against the Bible, but claim to be Republicans need to stand against those very, very common sense prohibitions that Donna Deegan has. One last comment before I take a breath here. One last thing is Donna Deegan has, for all the time she's been mayor, she has looked at ways of violating laws, of skirting laws. If there wasn't a law that was out there, she was going to do anything she wanted to. So we have to put these boundaries up, these borders up, so that she doesn't go out and do these things which are against the bedrock values of our city.
Blake, I'm exactly on your team with that, and one of the things that our listeners need to understand, and I'll take a moment to develop that for them to understand. One of the things that our mayor wants to do is to allow funding to the nonprofit organizations to go a flow through from the tax base into the nonprofit organizations. In turn, the nonprofit organizations will be able to use tax dollars to fund those illegal invaders that come into our city. Donna Deegan's already been very verbal about that she believes that should be okay and it should be all right. And so I'm thankful that there will be the opportunity tonight for people to go voice their opinions. And as I say to people, when you stand before the city council, be kind but be direct, that we do not want our tax dollars spent on these illegal things, DEI, and for the illegal invaders coming in, or for anything else that will be antithetical to the morals, ethics, and values for our city and for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, Blake, thank you so much for sharing that. And again, that's at 3 o'clock. That's in the city council chambers. And you're saying for people to get there early and be available,
right,
to get the names on the card so that they can speak if they're willing to do so. Blake.
And wear your red shirts. Can I add one more comment?
Yes.
Have I got a moment to share? Okay, so there are going to be three different times when people can speak. They can speak at public comment, which is going to be, I'm sure, going to be very short because that's a specific time period in the meeting. But each of the two budget ordinances, 501 and 504, will have public hearings. So, quite frankly, we can speak three times, once at public comment, once for the ordinance 501, which would be the tax cut, and ordinance 504, which would be the spending prohibition. And in those two public hearings, 501 and 504, we get 3 minutes. We get 3 minutes to speak. So there's plenty of opportunity to speak. And just coming down and wearing your red shirt, being all together, all the red shirt people being together, is going to be a huge statement, that visual statement that city council can't avoid.
Absolutely. And a fair Youngblood parenthetical footnote on that, we need to pray as citizens, as Christians, as patriots, as conservatives, pray that God will give the victory and defeat the enemy in the meeting this afternoon. Blake, thank you so much, brother, for calling.
God bless you.
Thank you,
sir,
for the job you're doing of keeping us informed, and keep on keeping on. God bless you today. Thank you so much for your call. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood. I only have two comments.
All right.
I'm going to tell you, I praise his wife, what she said, and I praise, well, he came from super Florida, but I praise everything. And now, I mean, it's like a revival on university and college campuses. They didn't know, like she said, they didn't know where they started.
Well, I think they've unleashed, those on the left, the Marxists on the left, the Communist Democratic Party, and the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I believe they've unleashed the whirlwind, and I'm thankful that it's a good whirlwind in the sense that we're speaking about. I'm thankful for what we see, the standing up of the youth and the on the campuses. And I think there's been some, 42,000 to 43,000 additional inquiries about setting up clubs on the college campuses. And for those that are willing to do so, I'm thankful for that. And by the way, our listeners may not remember, and I've stated it before on this broadcast, that Charlie Kirk was the responsible party for bringing 20% of the youth votes in 2024, and it was the 20% of the youth votes that got President Trump the victory for his election in 2024. And so I'm thankful for the work that was done there. But all of that was done, Kenneth, and I believe our listeners need to understand, it wasn't just a political move and a political organization that Charlie Kirk was involved in, and it had started and had led for so many years. It was a political slash Christian conservative slash patriot organization, and I'm thankful for it. And I believe that the left has not realized even to now what they've unleashed and the statements that they're making in relationship to it. In fact, Kenneth, I'm going to read just a brief portion of an article. Stephen Miller, which is one of the chief advisors for President Trump, said he goes nuclear, this article says. He says, you will have to live in exile. The White House advisor, Stephen Miller, did not hold back when describing how the Trump administration will respond to the assassination of Charlie Kirk. He goes on to say, Miller pledged to take down the left-wing organizations that are fomenting domestic terrorism across our country. Here, and here's the transcript. I'll read just a portion. Where the left calls people enemies of the Republic, calls them fascists, says they are Nazis, says they're evil, say they have to be removed, and they're then prints the addresses and the names. What do you think they're doing? They are trying to inspire someone to murder them. This is their objective, and that is to kill the enemy. Goes further to say, there's a domestic terrorism movement in this country, and let me tell you something. I'm not sure with anybody, but the last message that Charlie Kirk gave to me before he joined his creator in heaven was that he said, we have to dismantle and take on the radical left organizations in this country that are fomenting violence in our nation. So, Kenneth, the message that was left, either in word or in deed or in aspiration by those that have witnessed, is that we need to pick up, and just as Charlie Kirk said, answering God's call, hear my, send me. I believe it's time Christians say, hear my, send me. I'm going to stand for truth. I'm going to stand for the gospel. I'm going to stand for our Constitution. I'm going to stand for the flag. I'm going to stand for truth, regardless of who stands against it. What say you?
Okay, yes. And I'm going to tell you, I was tearful when his wife said, I forgive him. She didn't say, put him in an electric chair. She said, I forgive him. And I was like, I couldn't do that. I ain't gonna.
No, that's a difficult task, but let me do a little clarification for our listeners. As a Christian, that's our responsibility is forgiveness. Yes, but sir, there's still the need for that person to face the consequences of the deed that's done. God created government, and the first five you find in the government in Genesis, the ninth chapter, is that God created civil punishment. For those that take a life, his life is to be taken. So that still stands. And one of the things that I'm kind of thankful to see is the state of Utah. They have the death penalty. They have the fact that if a person commits a crime of murder, his life will be taken. He has three choices. He can either be executed by a firing squad, he can go into the electric chair, he can take the needle injection to take his life, or, in fact, I believe there's a fourth option there, and that is hanging, public hanging. And so the perpetrator of that execution by assassination of Charlie Kirk, he's going to face his justice, and that's my prayer, that justice will be meted out and that there will be the responsibility on his part. So, Kenneth, it deserves our interest. It deserves our commitment to say to the Lord, here am I, send me. That's my challenge to our listeners today is, here am I, send me. Kenneth, brother, thank you so much for your call. God bless you today. I believe we have Lily on the line. Lily, go over to question or comment, please.
Yes, thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood. Praise God, praise God. I also spend the time on Sunday to watch the memorial service. And praise God. I praise God all the way through. I wept, I cried, tears of rejoicing. I'm praising God. God be the glorious, great things He has done. Yes, we know that. The light of fire, they set something going. They start. Well, we have been praying because we know that in spite of all that we can do, He's only God. Only God. If God bring us to where we are, you know, as you often talk about the reprieve, it's a little reprieve we have just from God Himself. Hallelujah. Because our country was on the verge, our culture. We're losing our culture to the powers of darkness. And if God intervened in a miraculous way to the point of even giving us the greatest miracle, that bullet, that bruise to Donald Trump's ears and save his head. Praise God.
Absolutely. And Lily, let me interject a thought, and then we're going to have to take some other callers, but interject this. I am thankful, not that Charlie Kirk is dead, I'm thankful to see the response. Do you realize that in that stadium, there was about 100,000 people, and an overflow stadium across the street was about 50,000 people. On the streets that could not get in, about 50,000 people. There's about 200,000 people there for that memorial service, and one of the things that we see as a result of that is the fire being lit. And I go back to the statement that I made. It is my prayer that there will be mega millions across America that will have been awakened, and they will be willing to say, here am I, send me. And we need to understand, when we say that, Satan is going to stand up and try to defeat, tear down, and destroy. Anytime a Christian says to the Lord, here am I, send me, Satan is going to double the efforts to try to tear down and destroy. In fact, in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, it talks about that fact. It says, in verse 12 of Ephesians 6, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So our listeners need to understand that. And Charlie Kirk took that stand, and as a result of that, there is the battle today, good against evil, evil against good. And you go back to the New Testament church, the birth of the New Testament church, and it was the conflict, it was the martyrdom, it was the hatred of the enemy Satan that brought about the growth of the New Testament church. I believe that we will see growth, spiritually speaking, and standing from the standpoint of a patriot, as a result of Charlie Kirk's martyrdom, Charlie Kirk's assassination. So Lily, demands our prayer, demands us keep on looking up, and as Charlie followed Jesus or God's word, here am I, send me. May that be the outcome of those that are listening today. Lily, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you. I believe we have Santiago on the line. Go ahead with the question. A comment, please.
Yes, God bless you, Dr. Youngblood. I believe the wife of Erica, Kirk, forgive the person who killed the husband. You know, I've seen that can show up the love of God in her. Mm-hmm. And it's sad to see somebody who died, but the message was sent to the entire world, because when Sunday there was that program, everybody in the entire world, they was listening, and the word of God was heard about it. I think it was sad to lose a life and a person so bright, but there was a message to send to this world. Thank you. God bless you, Dr.
Santiago, you're right. God bless you. And I believe it's the light that was needed. I believe we need to recognize that. I call Charlie Kirk a 21st century martyr. Some have disagreed with that. I think that that's the best term that we could use for that, in the realization and the recognition of what he stood for and what he has done. I believe James is on the line. James, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes. Can you hear me, Dr. Youngblood?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, shutting off some equipment. Great show. A couple things I would throw out there to the listening audience. A couple hours before his assassination, an interview, I asked Mr. Kirk, what's your favorite verse? And he said, without hesitation, Romans 8:28, you know, and we know that in all things, they work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called, are the called, according to his purposes, what New King James says. So those that are called to and then signed up for and working on it. So for his is capitalized in the New King James. And I would remind the listening audience to be careful. I got an order the other day for Philippians 4:13, and it's a very popular verse, of course, and some people joke it's the Tim Tebow verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you look at some of the newer translations of the Bible, I said to the person that ordered it, I don't want to do it in the woke version. She started giggling, and I said, think about it. In the ESV, and I think in RSV, it says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Now, you know what that means, and I know what that means, but that's a whole lot different than saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Mm-hmm. So be cautious that your pastor is reading from. I think that it's really important that how people are being fed and what they're teaching them. And if there's things that you feel are out of sorts or it's not going with biblical principles, Charlie was a discerning person. Was he perfect? No. But I agree 100%. He's definitely now a martyr, and he has every reason to be. He died for doing what God had assigned him to do, that he courageously stood up and did. He had Absolutely. To know that he had to be under attack. You know what I
Absolutely.
Mean?
Absolutely. In fact, James, most are not aware of the fact that Charlie Kirk's organization, Turning Point USA, had been attacked and threatened time and time and time again. On several occasions, the enemy on these university campuses by the group would come over and knock their tent down, smash their material, take the literature, yep. put it in the garbage can. And so this was building up to the crescendo of ultimately taking his life. James, I want to read you a portion of an article, get your take on it in response. Divine permission to rule. Don Lemon rages over Christian messaging at Charlie Kirk's memorial. While millions of Americans were touched and inspired by uplifting messages during Charlie Kirk's memorial services Sunday, former CNN anchor is seething over the Christian content, saying the event was about a movement claiming divine permission to rule. If you listen long enough and close enough, Lemon said, you could feel the ground shifting beneath you, because that wasn't just about a man who died. That was about a movement claiming divine permission to rule America. It was a revival meeting wrapped in a memorial, a political rally dressed as the church. Excuse me. And he goes on to say that it was no less than a Nazi move to engage followers. Well, how do you respond to an idiot like that?
Well, I think that it's like talking to a drunk. And unfortunately, for a non-believer that opens up the Bible and reads from Romans 8, from that chapter, we just quoted Kirk's favorite verse, 8:28, there's a heading at each one. And it's interesting to me, and God doesn't deal in coincidence, he deals in perfection, that message for the heading for that chapter that he so loves in 8:28 begins at Romans 8:18, but it's the heading is from suffering to glory. Mm-hmm. Now, only a Christ follower, only a Christ believer, only someone that's died to self and does their best to serve the Lord, every day is a challenge, and every day is a battle, and our hope and our faith is in the Lord, but we are waging war. Make no mistake about it. There's a spiritual battle, as you just read from Ephesians, going on, and that's what it is. It's a spiritual battle. And demonic people and people that are signed up to go against Christ, whether they realize it or not, and somebody like Don Lemon, that accuses that, well, I'll take that accusation. Somebody once can, I guess they accused me or belittled me, they thought, by saying, you're a Christian national. And I said, well, if you mean by that I love the Lord and I'm kind of fond of my country, this country that was founded one nation under God by imperfect people that were way more humble at that time, but way more bold in their profession of belief in Christ. Did they do imperfect things? Absolutely. But we talked about it once before. The New England primer that they started their schools out with and ran them for years and years, they used the alphabet, but they used it with biblical principles. A was Adam. And with Adam's sin, we all became, under that sin. Mm-hmm. But it went through that. We were in the Bible constantly. The Bible was in the classrooms. Our country, although not perfect, was better. If you talked to and looked at what happened during over the decades in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, you could see the drift away from godly principles. And was it because people were complacent? Charlie Kirk had a button that said, because we're part of the Remnant Alliance, and so we had access to and got a lot of swag and a lot of different buttons and flyers and posters from Turning Point USA. And it irony, when he got shot, one of the buttons said, pray for those who persecute you. And another button said that compliance is not a biblical principle. So if you're a godly person and somebody says, Dr. Youngblood, I want you to do this, you'd say, James, I'm not going to do that, because the Lord in his owner's manual says, I'm not supposed to do that.
Amen.
So I want no part for that, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to be quiet as that goes on. And the problem has been slow but sure, insidious like a cancer, and we could speak to that because we both had cancer. It comes upon you, and little by little, it takes hold, a foothold. And without an attack, without the divine intervention of Christ, a removal or immaculate healing kind of thing, you battle with it. Well, these things about the pollution of God's word and dumbing it down and taking out words, again, I go back to that Philippians 4:13. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. If you're 9 years old and somebody tells you that verse, and then somebody else says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, it almost sounds like a different language.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. And a final thought, James, you go back to what you said earlier about it being he was called a Christian nationalist, and I wear that as a badge of honor. What does it mean to be a Christian nationalist? It means I'm a Christian with biblical values. It means I'm an American standing for our Constitution, for our founding documents, for our Bill of Rights. And so that is the summation of a Christian nationalist, and that's who he was, and I'm thankful for it. And James, the final thought that we have is that I would love for all of our listeners today to take up that Isaiah 6:8, here am I, send me. That's the challenge of the broadcast today. James, brother, thank you so much for calling. God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got just about a moment, but I believe Terry's on the line. Terry, if you could be very quick, our time is about gone.
Yes, sir. I believe that with Charlie Kurtz becoming a martyr, that an awakening took place, and that it even brought our college students to a point where we were losing them, and that he, through his death, for Christ I live, for Christ I die, that the hope came back alive.
Absolutely.
And I thank God that his wife, who laid upon, she, you know, God has a plan for her.
Yes.
And that she's strong, and that we lift her hands up.
Amen. Terry, I hate to interrupt you, but our time is gone. But God bless you, and thank you so much for your call. And you're exactly right. We need to keep praying for Turning Point USA and for Erica Kirk as she leads the organization. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative.